All right. So hello and welcome to the RPG Academy podcast. My name is Michael, and we're here tonight for another episode of Detention Live. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Chris. Chris, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
We had a line on a guest, and then, things happened. So it turns out it is just Chris and I tonight, but that is totally fine by us. Not the least of which, because I've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and I don't need no guests getting in my way. But as always, we're going to start with extracurricular, and that's what we've been up to lately. And since it's just you and I, Chris, I'll let you go first. But, buddy, what you been up to lately?
As I get older, I find the little things entertain me more. Like, I finally actually cracked my wallet open, bought myself an actual gaming chair.
Oh, so nice.
Sitting on this little kid's desk chair that I've had for 20 years now. It's nice because my feet don't fall asleep in it. It does have the little lumbar support with the massage thing, which is always odd because then it's just vibrating, and then the screen starts to vibrate, and I go, all right, that's not going to work. but it's nice to have something with some support, and I feel like a big boy. It also sits so much higher up. I feel like I'm reaching down for my keyboard, so it's kind of interesting. Other than that, let's see, got myself caught up to The Boys, because I don't think there's an episode out this week.
Correct.
It comes out later. This season, they've been grabbing the old heartstrings here and there.
It's been kind of a weird season. I've heard a lot of people are not as high on it this year, or this season, I guess. I'm still enjoying it. I'm caught up. I find it very enjoyable.
See, and I think it's actually one of the better seasons, because they're actually getting away from just the shock factor and going into more depth with the characters, and you're starting to see more than just angry butcher and kind of goofy Huey. You're getting more characters with them and more depth to them. So I'm enjoying that. Haven't watched this week's Acolyte, but I'm caught up other than that. Still on the fence. I like parts of it, but I don't like other parts of it. I didn't want another redemption story. I wanted an actual, I'm a Sith acolyte and I'm going to stab everybody, and this is an evil story, and not, oh, well, somebody's going to get redeemed, or somebody's going to start off the good guy and then get flipped to the bad guy. Like, we've seen that already.
Yeah.
I was hoping for something new. I really was hoping they would show some of the Sith training, but it's Disney, so they may not want to show the teacher beating up the student to toughen him up and tell him anger is your way. But they kind of started that a little bit in the last episode, but not quite the same as the way they describe it in some of the books. But I've been enjoying that. Work is actually starting to get better.
Well, that's great.
I'm almost fully staffed again. I had some things shake down today that were good, and putting us on the right path, and getting excited for that. Planning some actual vacations. I've had a whole, I think, 5 days off this year, and it's just been like one day here and there. I haven't actually taken time off, and two of those days were for funerals.
So, really, not ideal. No,
3 days off. I mean, one of those was for the faculty retreat, so that was relaxing. But it was also 5 minutes from work, so if I had gotten called, yeah, I could have just driven down the road. But thankfully, my team is pretty good, and they left me alone. They figured everything out on their own.
That's good.
Which is really nice. I'm also pretty pleased because they're using my office now as a model to build the other offices in the region around. So they're opening up a couple new offices, and they're sending everybody to train with me. And they said, well, you actually have a team that doesn't say that's not my job. They go, okay, I'll get it figured out. And they work together. And we want to learn how to do that. I'm like, you just tell your team that is your job.
That's your job, right? Yeah. Expectations.
Your customer service, the customer needs help, you do it. And it's not that complicated to me, but I also realize I'm kind of a simple guy. But
nothing wrong with that.
It's kind of nice to be back in a spot where I can start planning some vacations and start planning even longer. Like, I'm starting to plan stuff into next year.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, if that's okay. It's still like 9 months out now, but you and I are going on the D20 cruise next year. We are both taking our wives, so it's a double couples vacation. You and I will be playing some D&D and enjoying the nightlife and the food of the cruise. I'm very excited about it. Like, I truly am. Like, I'm just like giddy. I wish it was closer, but I'm also glad that it's not right next, because there's so many other things going on. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Me too. I've never been on a cruise. So that's going to be new for me.
Yeah. I want to get some Dramamine pills if you've never been on one, because some people have that seasickness thing or patches.
That's what my wife was looking at, is the patches that go behind your ears or wherever they go.
Yeah.
Knowing me, I'll forget I have one and put three on and then feel like I'm on the moon or something like that. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited because it's like, you and I don't often get to go to a convention and just play games together. Yeah. Usually we're running things or helping.
I mean, that's kind of how we met. That's how our relationship started, but then it has diverted drastically into other avenues.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to go to something that's not a faculty retreat and just, so to speak, put our feet up, play a game, go get some food, sit by the pool if we want to, watch people play pickleball on top of a giant boat. I'm still trying to picture that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see the big water park, because of course the pictures make it seem like it's this, 100-foot drop, and I'm hoping I get there and it's not like a 2-foot drop. Yeah. I'm like, that camera person was amazing.
Forced perspective. It works for Lord of the Rings and for cruise ships.
Oh yeah. I'm excited for that. I've actually got some gaming weekends with some other friends have popped up coming up next month, so I'm excited for that. On that, what have you been up to?
Well, a little of this, little of that. I'll hold the big thing to the end, but I'm on like my summer break. I think I talked about last time. I did get recontracted, I guess, however you want to say it, for the school. So I'm returning as a part-time employee, but I'm also going to get to do one more year of AmeriCorps, which is not always guaranteed. It's kind of a unusual situation that I'm able to do that, but they made it work for me. So I'm allowed, basically I've made it where I can stay at the school for another year, which is absolutely what I was hoping for. So very excited about that. But that also means I'm on my summer break. I've got about another 2 weeks before I have to go back. And even then it's like hit or miss before the school. I think our school starts like the middle of August. But then I have Gen Con coming up. So basically 3 weeks from today, I will be at this moment in 3 weeks, I should be playing Dread if I got my timing right. Because I have a Wednesday night event I've signed up for this year. But again, Gen Con is like my Christmas. I love it. I plan for it all year. I save up. I budget for it. I spend so much money, but it is absolutely just one of my favorite things in the world to do. So I'm super excited about that. But this year, Gen Con has an extra added sort of meaning, is I am now an any nominated game designer. Who would have thought that? This silly little game that I wrote about bad action movies and my favorite dice, the D12, I submitted it to the Innies. And the way the Innies work, if anyone is not aware, it is a self-nomination or self-submission policy, open submission policy. But then they have a panel of judges. Each year the judges rotate. People apply to be judges. Generally they're looking for people who have some connection to the industry, designers, streamers, podcasters, publishers, creators. Usually you can't just be a nobody. You got to have some connection to the industry. But they come in and they actually review all of the submissions, and then they make a short list of each of the various categories. Mm-hmm. So I submitted it, and I'll be honest, I submitted it for the art. I thought, there's a chance that, because I do truly love that cover. I think that cover is amazing. And then I think the interior art so closely matches the idealization of what I had for the book. It looks like storyboards. It looks like something you would see on a movie set to help you make the movie. I thought maybe we could get a nomination on the art, And then since it's already in there, basically it gets put in for everything. I didn't really necessarily have to select everything. I was like, okay, I'm putting it in there. And these are some of the things I'm looking for. So, and I knew that so this is how, again, my brain works. So I knew that last year that the Gen Con started on August 1st and that the any nominations were released on July 1st. So it was August 7th. and they released on July 7th. So I figured that that meant they would come out 1 month ahead of time. So starting July 1st, I was going like every day and checking to see when the Emmy nominations would come out, and they did not come out on the 1st or the 2nd or the 3rd or the 4th or the 5th, not even the 6th. I'm pretty sure they came out on the 7th. So apparently that's just the day they come out on. And even though I had been like actively checking the website, I still missed it. I saw it somewhere, he's on Reddit or Facebook. Someone had said, hey, you know, these have been posted. And I went and looked at the two art categories, and I was not there. I then stopped looking because I had no concept at all that I would get a nomination for anything else. And then I don't even remember, something had happened, and I went back to look for some other nomination. It wasn't even mine. And then I literally stumbled across mine. I was like, wait, what? You know, I'm like, this can't be right. So I was freaking the bleep out. I'm sure people don't care, but for me, this was a huge, you know, not gratification, but sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Acolyte?
Just sort of like, recognition, I guess, of that. Yeah. I actually did make something, because, you know, I try to be a bit of a defacing guy and self-defacing, but I believed in it enough to put my money down, you know, and hope that the Kickstarter would pay off in the long run. And I don't know. I'm still a little bit shocked, but I am super duper excited. Now, the chances of me actually winning are slim to none, because I'm up against, like, I think Pathfinder, one of the books, Pathfinder, is going to have, you know, 100,000 votes. So I'm basically fighting for second place. And that's where anyone who's listening now or in the future comes in. There's a 2-week voting period that opens in 2 days. So that's July 12th, where you can go and vote for your favorite. I would absolutely love if people would vote for me. Again, I do not think I have a shot in hell at winning, but maybe I could get second place if I get some help for some folks, but I am going to be at the ceremony. I will be there. This is technically my third nomination, because with the podcast, got nominated twice many, many years ago. So I'm a 3-time Emmy nominee, and I am absolutely ecstatic about it.
Excellent. What category should people be looking for?
Best rules.
Nice.
Which, again, is the one that kind of surprised me, because that is not what I thought it would be under. And, you know, again, I'm so self-analytical. Now I'm going back through trying to think, well, what was it about the rules that they liked? You know, like, what was it about them? And the only two things I can really come up with are the things that I stole from other people, like through playtesting, specifically when I went through the Tabletop Journeys playtest. And we came up with the needle drop mechanic, where you can actually like basically sing the song to get a bonus. And I'm thinking, maybe that's the rule that they like so much. And that just kind of came organically out of playtesting. So I guess the moral of that story is playtest your games, because some good stuff will come out of it.
Well, I mean, you put a ton of work into it. You did a lot of playtesting. You ran it several times. I mean, I played it 2 or 3 times. I think part of it is probably that the cooperative nature of it could also draw a lot of people in. That is a huge thing in the world today. I mean, I switch from board games. I play almost exclusively either co-op games or just silly fun, I don't care if I win, type games.
Quote unquote beer and pretzel games, like Thunder Road Alley or whatever that is.
Games are just chaos, and the dice rolls just make funny things happen. And I don't care if I win or lose. It's just the fun of watching how the chaos unfolds. But to me, that's what I liked about the game, was that cooperative nature. It wasn't overly like rules heavy.
No, very, very. Which, again, is why I'm like, rules light, really? Or rules, best rules? Yeah, really?
But that's, in a way, the brilliance of it is that it is open enough that you can do what you want, but still gives you enough guidelines to keep the format going. That's what I think a game should do. And honestly, that's why for a long time I've shied away from 5th Ed, because 3rd edition, 4th edition were so rules heavy. I'm like, I don't want to have to look in a book for rules. And anybody that's listening to me run the Dragonlance game knows I don't look in the book for rules. Yeah. I say, how's it work? And you tell me, and I believe you. So you could easily tell me Lightning Bolt now does 500 D6s. And I'm like, all right, well, roll them. And when you're done doing the math.
That seems excessive, but okay, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have the creature now has some serious resistances to it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. But I just don't like doing that at a table. I like the game to keep flowing. And if I'm going to look up a rule, I want to do it in my own free time. Now, a couple of times we did look up some of the spells, but I mean, I can do that on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I can type in silence. How's it work now? Okay, perfect. Go. I don't need to dig into the book. I don't have to spend hours, which I guess is the nice thing about the internet.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe somebody will make you a wiki for rules now.
That's, yeah. Again, it doesn't really need one because it's so rules light. But
yeah,
again, just if anybody would be willing to vote for it, I absolutely would appreciate it. Action 12 Cinema under the best rules category. Voting opens Friday. It runs for 2 weeks. And then the ceremony again. I will be there, win or lose. I'm going to show up just in case. I'll have a speech prepared just in case. I've kind of equated it to the game The Mind, which I know you and I have played. Where the first time I played The Mind, I was at the same time angry at the person who had the audacity to say this was a game when it was just a deck of cards from 1 to 100, but also so envious that someone had taken something so simple as a deck of cards that goes 1 to 100 and made a game that I find so much enjoyment, you know, get so much enjoyment out of. So that's kind of like been my guiding star for my game was there's nothing in my rules that are all that, like, there's nothing totally unique or like revolutionary in how games work. I've put together something kind of simple, like numbers 1 to 100, but the way I've put them together allow you to have fun at your table. And that's kind of how I've been trying to explain it to people. So I guess maybe that's what connected with folks to your point is it's very streamlined. It's very easy. There's a lot of prompts. It uses the D12, which is objectively the best polyhedral. Again, I'm going to take it. Win or lose at this point on, I will happily wear that badge of honor that I've been nominated for my game. I may never make another one. I don't know. This is still just like a hobby thing for me. Validation. That was the word I was looking for earlier. There just the validation that this thing that I did work very hard to do. And I had, don't get me wrong, people helped me. But, you know, it was also a lot of a one-man show for a lot of it. Like the, you know, the initial thought, the process, the playtesting. But when I brought in editors to help me and I brought in graphic designers to make the book look good and brought in artists to make the art look great. But the game, other than the playtesting things I stole, is kind of just basically me. So it's a lot of validation to have people say that, hey, this is actually something that's good and needs to be recognized. So now I just need to turn that into sales. I'm getting close to breaking even on everything. If I can get a few more sales out of it, that would be fantastic. But we shall see. But anyway, beyond that, I've caught up with the boys, as we talked about. I really like The Bear. It's one of my favorite TV shows right now. The first two seasons are almost transcendent television for me. I just cannot get over how exceptional those two seasons are. Third season's been a little bit rocky. I'm still enjoying it, but I do feel the criticisms I've heard is that it's kind of lost momentum. I think they've announced that next season is the last season, so maybe they're just trying to like not get too far ahead so they can finish the next season. I don't know. But I'm still enjoying the characters, so I just enjoy spending time with them. I think I'm six, because I watched two at a time, so I'm six episodes in. I think there's nine this season, but I absolutely love The Bear. And then I'm behind on House of the Dragon. I've seen the first two, but I've not watched the second two. Been a lot of stuff going around the house, so my TV time has been a little bit off. I'm still doing the Smallville podcast, and then I have a new co-host that's going to join me next season who does a podcast for the Gossip Girl TV show.
Okay.
And so they've invited me to come on to do an episode of the Gossip Girl rewatch with them in exchange for them being on Smallville. I have never seen a single episode of Gossip Girl, except now I have. I've now seen season 2, episode 7. Don't know anything about these characters going in. I just watched the one episode and my brain is like short circuiting because I don't know what is going on. But I'm excited to get a chance to talk about it with people who do. So I don't think that episode will come out for several months the way their schedule is, but I'm going to be recording that this weekend.
Excellent.
So that's about it for me. Again, all the stuff that people need to worry about. A Catacon. I do need to talk about that. Catacon badges go on sale next month. And I'm going to be putting together like a little advertisement for our Facebook ad. I think I'm going to do like a little video this year rather than just like a image. So I'm going to try to put together like a little 1 or 2 minute video using my OBS and see how it works out. But going to do a Facebook ad. And then we have a partnership now with a group that's going to Gen Con in one of the game rooms, and they're going to help kind of promote it as well. So I am very hopeful that we will get to our 600th attendee this year. And then finally, we've been saying for like the last couple of years that next year would be like a horror themed year because it would be a Catacomb the 13th, you know, kind of tied to Friday the 13th. And then today I just sort of had the thought of the tagline would be to die for. So the 2D4 would be like, yeah, it's the year 2D4. To die for? I don't know. I thought it was freaking hilarious. We'll see how the brain trust. But anyway, so
we should do a video on the cruise, talking with those people, and then trying to recruit them to come to a Catacomb.
Oh, I absolutely will be taking business cards with me for that. So hopefully we'll be riding high off our best year ever at a Catacomb and going straight into that. But we will move on. So after extracurricular, what we always do here is our first improv game, and it's an improv game called 10 Things. The idea here is that Chris and I will take turns prompting each other to create a list that matches the prompt. For the game, it's more about immediacy than accuracy. So coming up with a list quickly is better in terms of the game than a list that actually makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Chris, since we have no other guest, that technically makes you the guest. So would you like to go first in prompting me or being prompted?
I can prompt you.
All right.
I've got one that I already thought of. Give me 10 things you'll do if you win the Emmy.
Tattoo on my forehead.
One.
Tattoo on my butt cheek.
Two.
Continue talking about my game incessantly to people who don't care.
Three.
Love the D12 even more, if that's even possible. Rename a Catacomb Action 12 Cinema Con.
Five.
Put out an ad in the New York Times.
Six.
Fulfill my dream of becoming a published author of a fiction book based off of the success of this.
Seven.
Start another podcast about something.
Eight.
Grow a beard, finally.
Nine.
And shave my head.
10.
Yay! That was, in fact, a list of 10 things. Scurvy Nave, tatted up. Yeah, definitely. Again, if you watch The Bear, I would be like FAC. I could just have like tattoos all over everything, but they're all just D12s and different polyhedrals. All right. So, Chris, never been on a cruise before.
Nope.
What are your 10 things you hope to do, experience, survive on our cruise next year?
Not get seasick.
One.
Make sure I find my room.
Two.
Try the water slide.
Three.
Have really good food.
Four.
Avoid going to the ice arena.
Five.
Let's see. Not get run into by 500 kids while they scream and holler.
Six.
Maybe go to the little casino if they have one.
Seven.
Spend somebody else's money at the casino that's not mine or my wife's.
Eight.
Play some good games.
Nine.
And just hang out with some really good people.
10. That was, in fact, a list of 10 things. So the sort of the meat and potatoes of the show usually when we have a guest is it's called Use Books, and we talk about a game that one of us has been playing or running recently, and we try to like mine it for lessons learned, things that went well, things that we can learn from, do better next time, that kind of thing. So I've actually have been running some games, which isn't always the case because I'm still running the game for my kids. And then I've been running that Marvel 616 game at the library. And then this coming Saturday, I'm going to be running my Dragonspine adventure for another group of folks who've never played D&D before, but have always wanted to play. It's one of the ladies I work with and some of her friends. So I'm gearing up for that. So I can touch on any of those things, but I want to talk to you first. You recently wrapped up your Dragonlance campaign. We recorded a debrief, but we're going to wait till all the episodes are out. But is there anything about that game or any others that you'd want to share tonight with us?
A big thing I really thought of, and we didn't talk about this, and I thought about it afterwards, is I've always been hesitant to run modules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of it is I, with my dyslexia, sometimes when I read things, I get annoyed when I get tongue-tied or I read things wrong. And part of it, too, is I was always worried that it would be so railroady that it would stifle my own creativity and it would make the players feel like they have no options, which was always the opposite kind of mindset of my game mastering style. After running this, I realized that I was wrong on a lot of those thoughts. I think players go into a module thinking it's going to be fairly railroaded because they already know you have to kind of follow the path. So if they agree to a module, they're already kind of in that mindset. They're not looking for an open world. And B, just realizing that I could just add my own flavor to the module and not get frustrated trying to rework everything, which, like I said, when we talked, I didn't read ahead. I knew if I read ahead, then I would rewrite everything and it would just be a totally different story. So having that experience at the table with the players, as I was sometimes reading things for maybe the second time in an hour, was kind of nice because it was a little refreshing too, to be like, oh, that's neat how they put that in here, and then read it again and have fun with it. So that was good. I did get to play test, not play test, wrong term. My friend Dave is running a system called Little Game Masters.
Okay.
And it's a system for kids. So it's a pretty, you know, rules light, pretty easygoing game. And we did a run through of that the other day, and I got to be a player, which was fun because myself and the other two players basically, it's a D&D setting, but they ended up basically being pro wrestlers and I was their bard promoter.
Right.
So I was the guy on the edge of the cage screaming and hollering, and every now and then somebody would fall out of the ring, so to speak, and smack me. And I remembered how fun it was just to embrace kind of the silliness of characters like that, because who plays pro wrestlers in a D&D setting? Like, we weren't looking to go out adventuring. We were looking to go from bar to bar and, pro, you know, fake wrestle put on a show, which I think threw Dave off a little bit as a GM, because he's like, wait a minute, you're not going to go save the princess, so to speak? And I'm like, no, no, we'll get there.
Yeah,
but we got to go to this. Yeah, we got to go to the bar first and get some cash before we go there. So it was fun to do that. It was fun to play kind of a silly game. It was nice to just get back in that mindset of relaxing and just embracing the absurd and, you know, being able to talk, you know, like, all right, next up is the three B's. Let's go.
You're like the Chaucer in A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, that was basically me. And that was our wrestling, was the three B's. And, you know, of course, then Dave would play it in the crowd. Well, there's only two people in the ring. I'd like, quiet, you can't count. And just having fun with it. It was also nice to help Dave go through it and him kind of figure out the rules in that little scenario and talk with him about how to make it a little smoother. It was nice to have that kind of experience. So what have you been mining from some of your games?
Well, so I think we touched on this a couple of times recently, but I'm also someone who's pretty much never ran a module. Like, I'm sure when I first started running games 35, 37 years ago, I ran the Starter Adventure in the Red Box, and I probably bought some like Dragon magazines. But for the most part, I've never been a module person. And now I'm currently running two different modules. The Marvel 616 game is the Cataclysm of Kang adventure, and the I'm running the Phandelver and Below, the sort of the updated, revised version of the Phandelver adventure that was released with the starter set. And that's the one I'm running for my kids. And I'm actually enjoying both of them more than I thought I would. Like, that's always been, I've been sort of like kind of snooty about it. Like, I can write a better adventure. And honestly, I still think I can. But the adventure, it provides a lot of the things that I'm not good at, but I'm still, I have enough freedom to kind of make it my own. The biggest thing I've noticed with my kids is they are not interested in side quests at all. Like, they are very much, they want to go to whatever the, I'm like, I'm sure I could put a shiny side quest in front of them and they would go for it, but they've been very focused on what is the thing we're supposed to do? What is the thing we're supposed to do? And anytime there's a chance for a side quest, it's always like, but that's not what's important. We're supposed to be doing this thing. And are you familiar with that adventure at all, the Phandelver Below?
No.
So there's an NPC called Glass Staff. No one knows who they are. They are just known by that name. They're like a hidden figure. And there's a point in the adventure, kind of early, where they are supposed to interact with this person. So we get to the point where they are searching for this guy. But the way they went about it, they didn't do it wrong. But the way they went about it, it did not make sense to me that Glass Staff would just like wait around for them to show up, because they kind of really made it known what they were doing and where they were. So when they got to where he was supposed to be, I said he wasn't there. So they found the things they were supposed to get from him, like in his rooms or whatever. So what I'm going to do the next time we play, I'm basically writing my own additional section where they're going to be chasing him, and that's going to take them to the areas where those side quests that they didn't go to were going to be. So I'm basically going to merge them into a couple of the side quests that I, because some they're optional. You don't have to do them, but I read through them and I think there's a couple are pretty fun. So I'm going to kind of like marry up their chasing Glassstaff into the same place where these side quests are so that they will hopefully overlap enough for them to do both. Because part of this adventure is also they're supposed to get to level 12 by the time it's over. And that was one of the big things they were excited about is getting a high level character. I've never ran high level games. So I kind of need them to do some of the side quests before they start leveling to level 7 or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. I will certainly report back on if it is successful or not. And then in the Marvel 616, this is more spoilery because I don't think as many people are familiar with this one. It's a kind of an odd structured adventure because it's comic book based. And basically each adventure can be a standalone adventure, but they also do tie together. And it's kind of assumed that for some, if not all groups, you will change characters as you go. So you start at rank 1, which are like kind of like normal people. I think they're like SHIELD agents or HYDRA agents, you know, high level military type of thing. But they're just normal people with like maybe like stun guns type of things, right? And then you get to level 6 or rank 6. That's like your Captain Marvels, you know, your cosmic level heroes that have, you know, that kind of power. So each adventure is for a rank. So you start at rank 1 and then you go to rank 2 and then you go to rank 3. So each time, it's kind of assumed that you either change to a new character or you have to find some way to make sense that they are ranking up. So like maybe Hawkeye gets an Iron Man style suit. So now he's Hawkeye with Iron Man tech, you know, or right. Maybe Venom attaches itself to somebody. Like you have to find some comic booky way to level up your characters. But for the most part, my players have been taking new characters. But there's a particular adventure, and I won't say which one, where you're supposed to lose. Like it says in there, it's like, this is the one where they are supposed to feel like they cannot win. Think of it like a cliffhanger. You know, this is like the Empire Strikes Back, where at the end of this adventure, they should feel like all hope is lost. And that's kind of, I don't know. I feel like that's something you can do in a story or a movie, but it's kind of hard to do that in a role-playing game because people feel like they have agency because they're supposed to be. So they were really pushing back against, like, I wasn't just saying like you can't win here, but I was like trying to like set the stakes of like, this right. is the enemies that currently against you. This is their power level. This is who you currently are. You know, it's not looking good. And so they did something completely unexpected to the writers of the module, but something I kind of saw coming a mile away, which is going to throw things. I'm either going to have to rewrite everything from there on or find another way to fix things. So I don't know. I have an idea of how I want to do it. I think it will work, but it is vastly different than what the writers anticipated. But I kind of feel like that was a failing of the writers because I just don't think you can do that in an adventure where you can just set them up and say, you are going to fail here. When, if it's a cutscene, like I've done that in a D&D game where I'll start off in like a cutscene where I describe really bad things happening, and then you wake up, you know, unconscious and now your gear's gone. But if you actually let your players roll dice, you can't just say you're going to lose.
Right.
And I think the adventure kind of took a weird turn because it really wanted me to do that.
That is very hard to do. Cliffhangers are tough, or even just a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I run Shadow of the Demon Lord, which is, anybody that's ever played it knows that's not a happy-go-lucky system. I mean, it's designed for you to have some really rough moments. And I wrote just a one-shot that I thought was really cool. I loved the characters I wrote up. I loved all the little hooks and the moments for them, and play-tested and got down. And three of the four players are like, I didn't like that. I was like, well, I told you the name of this module is A Beautiful Tragedy. Like, it's supposed to end in a horrible way.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but kind of like you said, we didn't have a way of winning. Like, well, that was the whole point. Like, it left it at that kind of cliffhanger. They did end up beating the big bad, but not in a way that was nice. Like, it basically left a big hole in the wall, and they had to kind of figure out what to do with it from there. And they just did not like it at all. They're like, no, we like being the heroes. I'm like, well, you're playing the wrong system.
Playing the wrong game for that, yeah.
In a way, I mean, you can be in Shadow of the Demon Lord, but Usually it's more, all right, we survived. Whew. We get a little more power.
Yeah.
Next thing that's going to happen. I think in those situations, either you have to really emphasize to the players at the beginning, this is kind of the idea of it, or you have to have the right players. And that's what I realized on that little one shot I wrote. If I had had a different group of players who embraced that kind of thing, I think it would have been a great story. I think at the end of it, they would have been like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm crying because I'm right. So upset with how that ended, but I'm also so excited with how we got to build this story together. It was a rough one for me to write too, because there were some rough moments in there. Really tugging on the backstories of the characters, which was another thing I thought was cool about that one shot I wrote, but two of the players didn't embrace their backstories I wrote for them. And they were like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, well, no. If you don't embrace this, the scene that's all about your character is gone. And one of the other players that was playing in the game, when it came time for the orcs moment to basically rage, he kept sending me messages on Discord like, why is the orc not just smashing everything? Like, you've set this up, like, I'm ready to flip a table and smash because of this, what's going on. I was like, I guess I'm not painting the picture well enough.
I think sometimes characters want to push back about, like, if they see it coming so hard, like, oh, this is the time I'm supposed to rage, and not necessarily to be like a jerk or like to mess with the DM, but just like I want my character to have a different feel. So maybe that was it. Maybe it was like intentionally trying to mess with the game, but they were just like, this is so obvious. I want to try to find another way, even though sometimes the obvious stuff works. I mean, it's a trope for a reason, you know? So sometimes you just lean into it.
Well, I asked him at the end, I was like, hey, in this scene, I thought you would rage. He goes, no, I feel like my character would just been annoyed. And I was like, no. The one person in the world that's ever shown your character love is just making out with another guy, and you're not upset about this, and you're finding out she's actually not possessed, but she is an evil entity from another realm. Like, yeah. I feel like I've put enough together that you should be angry, but
yeah,
it was I really enjoyed writing that one, and if I had the right group, I'd love to run it again. Yeah. But going into it, it would be known that there's not going to be a lot of laughing in this one. It's a rough, I mean, it pulls at your heartstrings, and it's a, like I said, it's a tragedy at the end.
I think that might be the lesson we can talk about, the lesson learned from this one, is aligning player expectations. And, you know, there's different avenues, like, should the players play characters that fit the story the DM wants to tell? Should the DM change the story to fit the characters that the players have created? Both, yes. Correct. But specifically, if it's like a one shot, especially if you're like you're playtesting a game or a scenario where it's like this is a tale of tragedy. Your backstories were written specifically to put you in situations so that you will be able to express emotion, probably dark emotion, that will lead to tragedy. And having players go, you know, I don't think I want to play that. Okay, that's fine. I will find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure everybody's on the same page. I have famously used the example of Made Men, the first actual play we ever did here on the show, where it started out with Evan, Rob, and Nico, and they were basically like low-level mafiosos in the D&D world. And then we brought in Jared, and I did not align Jared's expectations, and he came in with a character that was right out of a Three Stooges bit. And that first session he was in was terrible. Because Rob, Evan, and Nico were still like, we are like uber serious made men. Like, you know, we handle our business. And Jared's over here like, and like poking people in the eyes just to like see what happens. And it almost ruined that entire campaign because I, as the DM, did not do my job correctly. So I definitely learned my lesson there. But I think in subtle ways, it can be whether you supply the backstory, good session zero, didn't take a drink, or whatever the situation is. But it not only should they be aligned, but getting the right players, because not every player is right for every game. And that doesn't mean they're a bad player or a bad person or anything. It's just like, I have friends I watch football with, and I have friends I play D&D with, and generally those don't cross over.
No.
You know, there's some exceptions, but for the most part, like I'm okay with the fact that I have segmented friend groups. And so there are some groups that I would play like a really cool dread, everyone's going to be dead at the end of this game story. And there's people that I would say you're not the person that would, I should play this game with, because you're not only have fun, and it's going to make it less fun for everybody else.
Dredd's a good example of the player needs to understand the game. Like I said, I ran it last year, and I think December, and it was the Star Wars one we came up with. I ran it for another group of friends, and in mine, they ended up fighting Darth Maul, and one guy's like, "I'm going to attack Darth Maul." I'm like, "All right, pull three bricks." He pulls the bricks. He's like, "All right, how much damage do I do?" I go, "Well, there's no damage in this. You are surviving.
You survived
Darth Maul." He's like, "Well, I have to do damage." I'm like, "You're a Padawan fighting Darth Maul. You are surviving." And he just, "Well, I have to do damage." I'm like, "Okay, cool. You do 2 points of damage to him." "Well, how many hit points does he have?" "You'll find out."
Yeah, that's just, they don't get it. That person did not get what was going on.
Yeah, but at the same time, sit next to him, you know, Tommy, the other player, "All right, I want to attack Darth Maul." I'm like, "All right, pull three bricks." Knocks the tower over. I'm like, "Cool." He goes, "Awesome. I'm a Hutt. Can I describe how he kills me?" I'm like, "Sure." Mm-hmm. And he probably spent 5 minutes describing Darth Maul running his lightsaber underneath the breastbone of the Hutt, and how as he falls over, he whispers, you know, his last words, and like he embraced it and had such a great time with it. And at the end, I was like, "I've never seen anybody happier to describe their character's death than you were right there." And he's like, "You told us at the beginning of the game, if you knock the tower over, you die." He's like, I understood that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "And I mean, the tower was, I didn't understand how it hadn't fallen earlier in the day. I was, every time somebody breathed wrong, I was like, ooh, didn't fall. I was waiting for somebody to fart and just watch it." But nobody did.
Yeah. I know we did our Origins episode, which is already out, and I talked a lot about pacing, and I don't think I put the connection, but I really think if someone either struggles with pacing or wants to get better at pacing, running Dredd is just, it is a master's level course in how to pace. Because if you mess that up, it's messed up. It's almost impossible to recover. So you have to learn who pulls, when they pull, how many pulls, so that you can build to things. And I'm not saying I'm a master at it by any stretch, but I am better at pacing my other games because of the amount of Dredd that I've played and ran. It's absolutely great for that.
I've only played it once and ran it once, and I 100% see what you're saying. I just need to find people that want to play Jenga. Nah, I'm no good at Jenga. I'm like, cool, let's nominate somebody else to pull bricks for you.
Yeah,
I mean, just be part of the story and, you know, let's go. And it just hasn't worked out, but I want to play more of it. I might in August. Like I said, I got a little, six or seven of us are getting Airbnb and just gaming, and nice. I think that'll be fun, and I'll bring the Jenga tower for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again,
see if they want to play.
You can play a silly one, you can play a serious one, but I definitely think it's such a quick and easy thing, because you don't even really need character sheets. You're just like, this is you, this is you, this is you, let's go. And you can just have a, you know, it's like a 2-hour game, really, and you're done. So it's such a low commitment. If you got the right players, if not the most fun I've ever had at a gaming table was around Dredd. Just, it is so, when you got the right people, expectations are aligned. I have not found a better game. Maybe Action 12 Cinema.
Well, and in that one, what I did is you can do whatever you want. But the first time somebody pulled one of the bricks with our little symbol on, I was like, you know what? That ability doesn't seem to be your strength. And the players embraced it. Like, okay, I'm not good at moving things. So now I got to figure out what my Padawan is good at. So I twisted kind of what we had come up with and just added to it to help them build their characters as we were going, which was fun for me because it added a little more layers to what was going on. But yeah, I'll play it some more. Okay. I really enjoyed it. So,
all right. Well, that'll bring us to the end of our used book section. This is where we do our second improv game. This is the one that we are awful at, but it's always part of the thing because New York Tater will revolt if we don't do it. And that's Where Have My Fingers Been? This is where we will take turns prompting each other to create a short scene that involves two people or more, if you're feeling froggy, having a little scene interacting together. It helps if the scene has a beginning, middle, and end, but I often leave at least one of those out because I find that funny. Chris, again, you are the guest tonight technically, so would you like to go first in terms of prompting me or being prompted?
I'll prompt you.
Okay. Actually, hold on. Me. There we go. Where have my fingers been? I said, where have my fingers been?
I'll keep on the theme. You're two guys trying to find where the any awards are being presented.
Okay. I think it's down this way. Oh, okay. No, it doesn't look like there's anything in there but a giant room full of nerds. I think we may have found it. Really? I thought the Innies were like cool, like the Oscars, like, you know, hot people. Dude, no. But I'm kind of hot, right? No. Damn it. And that's where my fingers have been.
Yay.
Hey. All right, Chris.
All right. Where have my fingers been? I said, where have my fingers been?
Your fingers are two people playing Dread on a cruise ship in a wavy ocean.
All right. It's your turn to pull a brick. Well, hold on. I'm just waiting for... Wait. Okay, okay. All right. It didn't fall away. Oh, maybe, maybe. No, no. Go ahead. It's your turn. Hurry up. All right, all right. All right. Whew. That was close. That was close. All right. So you said you're going to go ahead and try to fight the werewolf now, right? So you got to pull a brick. Yeah. Ooh, whew. That was a close one. So, what is up? And that's where my fingers are.
That's a tragic one there. The whole thing. Oh, so, we kind of stopped doing cryptozoology because we had talked about and we had put a plan in place to bring back the podcast that was just about doing that segment. And then that has yet to ever happen.
Oh.
So we might bring it back. I'm not prepared tonight for that, but it's one of my favorite things that we do on Detention. I really do love that segment, which is why I tried to turn it into its own podcast, but unfortunately that just isn't happening. So I guess just going forward, we'll assume that we will do that again unless the other thing happens. So that'll take us into audience Q&A. We do have a couple people that have been watching. So if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask, feel free. I know there's a little bit of a pause or a delay. So while we're waiting for any questions to come in, Chris, once again, tell people where they can find you, where they can interact with you, follow you, do all the things that you do.
Usually you can get a hold of me if you want on the Discord channels. I'm on a few of those. Obviously the RPG Academies, I'm on Rook and Rasp. Speaking of Rook and Rasp, Smuggler's Blues. Mm. After 2 months of life getting in the way, we actually got to play again last night. So we're getting back into that a little bit. So you can find me on the Tuesdays before we do Detention, generally.
Okay.
And we're getting back into that. It was kind of fun. I had them attacked by droids that were trying to hijack their droids to sell the droids. It was droids upon droids level of plot that all evolved within 2 seconds of somebody going, we should probably get attacked now. And I was like, okay, here we go. So it was kind of fun to get back into that. Otherwise I don't do a lot of social media. Find me at a Catacon as always, generally up front. If it was last year, I would say teaching somebody Thunder Alley again or Thunder Road, whatever it's called. But I don't think I'll be teaching a lot of it this year. I think this year I might make more of an effort to run some more games.
Yeah, we had talked, and again, me trying to get out of my zone of being controlling, but we've talked about doing like multiple panels. You're probably going to do a Geek War style event with Neil's blessing, if not exact that format, but it's probably some sort of like live event with like trivia. You've got the D&D trivia. I bought the Marvel superhero trivia, so we might mix those together. We've talked about doing a live draft episode. You'll be there. I'll be there. Liwanika will be there. Unfortunately, our fourth Kevin, if people haven't heard, very tragically passed away about a month ago. We didn't know him that well, but we interacted with him through our show and he seemed like just a wonderful guy full of life. I loved having him on the show and he definitely brought joy to my life the times we interacted. But we've talked about maybe holding a draft there, bringing in another person to fill that fourth spot. Don't know yet. So hopefully we'll be doing more events as a group there, not just sitting at the desk, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I like the drafts. I really liked them. I really enjoyed doing them. And Kevin definitely brought a lot of energy to them and a lot of great ideas. So I'm hoping we can get back into it and find somebody to slide into that spot. I think Kevin would be upset if he thought we weren't going to keep doing it.
Yeah, there's a while. I don't know. I just felt kind of weird at first, but I do agree that I think he would want them to continue. But I also think mm-hmm. having a bit of a delay before we just brought someone in probably makes sense as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So as for me, I did join the TikTok revolution. I'm up to, I think I have 889 followers currently on TikTok. You can find me by searching at the RPG Academy or MKR_2222. At 1,000 followers, I get the ability to put a link in my bio. I don't know what I want to do, except now that the innies are going live in 2 days. So if I can get to 1,000 followers in the next 2 days or so, I'll be able to put a link to the innies voting in my bio, which would be cool. Obviously, I did jump back onto Twitter just because of the innie nomination. I'm going to disappear as soon as that's over, but I am back posting there for a couple days. I'm on Facebook, but really TikTok and Facebook are probably the two best ways. Or email me, therpgacademy@gmail.com is probably the best way to get hold of me. And at Catacon, it isn't that far away. Badge sales go on sale next month, August 15th. We've already sold out of VIP. We've already sold out of our vendors. Not had a lot of traction on our demo tables yet, but I'm still hoping that some people will jump on that. But yeah, it's all rolling together. It's going to start coming closer and faster, and it's all exciting. So final thing for me again, follow me on TikTok, and then please do consider voting for the innies. I would absolutely love and appreciate if I could eke out a second place win, because it would be incredible. So with that, we will just sign off as we always do here at the RPG Academy. And that's to say, if you're having fun,
you're doing it right.
Thanks. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Yay.